Hey now, what's cracking? Merry Christmas. Welcome to the Year in Review, hour number two. I am Jim Rome. We are doing this thing live. I'm in Southern California. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. And we are doing this thing live. It's good to be with you, clones. What's up? So we're moving through the March or month of March. And then March 11th, specifically, the day that the entire world changed. Here is the Oklahoma City Thunder broadcast right before a game against the Jazz that never did actually tip off.
Waiting for the league to confirm the green light because there were some illnesses with some players prior to this game. Rudy Gobert was scratched. Players were talking amongst themselves prior to the game. And so just waiting to get the okay, essentially, from the league to proceed with tonight's game.
And fans, due to unforeseen circumstances, the game tonight has been postponed. You are all safe. And take your time in leaving the arena tonight and do so in an orderly fashion. Thank you for coming out tonight. We are all safe. And good night, fans.
Man, how surreal is that? So whether it was that moment or maybe when you turned on your phone to see that the NBA had suspended its season, I'm pretty certain that no one's ever going to forget where they were on March 11th. That's when the dominoes started to fall. Because shortly after that, it was announced that Rudy Gobert had tested positive for the coronavirus, and nearly every major sport across the world stopped playing by the end of that week. I mean, what a truly unprecedented time. In just 48 hours, I went from talking to college coaches who were gearing up for March Madness to canceling the Buffalo tour stop and interviewing epidemiologists like Dr. Celine Gounder.
Stay home. Really keep yourself and your family at home. Wash your hands. That really does work. Wipe down surfaces. Those are really the key things we need to be doing right now.
I mean, I pride myself on being sort of rangy, this show having some range, but never did I think that we would be talking to epidemiologists, nor did I think that I would get a call from a frontline doctor in New York City named Saqib Rahim.
I think this is a hugely important public health issue that a lot of people are taking seriously, but I also think that there's parts of the country that don't fully realize the gravity of what we're facing. And so I appreciate you bringing it up and calling attention. So I would ask that, you know, people take this really seriously, you know, these calls for social distancing, proper hand washing, proper precautions, isolating yourself if you have symptoms. I would just ask that people really take those things to heart.
Now, a lot of people did exactly what the doc was asking, and then some other idiots didn't. You know, like those five spring breakers in South Beach who went legend for all the wrong reasons on a local news interview.
If I get corona, I get corona. At the end of the day, I'm not going to let it stop me from partying. We've been waiting for Miami spring break for a while. About 2 months we've had this trip planned. Whatever happens, happens.
Like, it's really messing up with my spring break. I think they're blowing it way out of proportion.
This virus ain't that serious.
We're here. I just turned 21 this year, so I'm here to party. So we're just trying to get drunk before everything closes.
We're just trying to roll with the boy. We're just living for the moment. We're just going to do what happens, when it happens, when stuff closes. We're going to do it when it closes, but besides that, we're just trying to have the best trip we can.
The hell am I supposed to do with that? Laugh? Cry? Fight somebody? None of the above? Hey, you know who did do their part, though? Alvin freaking DeLauro with his Wash Your Hands mix that plays for exactly 30 seconds, which is the same amount of time that doctors recommend washing your hands for.
Wash
your hands.
Clean.
Out of here.
Doing it clean.
I'm like one guy. I'm clean.
Clean it up. Clean up everything right away.
Wash somebody's back, I guess.
Gary here, and I'm Mr. Clean.
Bathing or showering or soaping.
Hey, Romy, it's actually Dirty D.
Clean up on aisle three.
Out of here.
What?
Wash
your
hands.
Clean.
Good job, Alvy. Way to be a part of the solution. Now, March was not all bad. As an example, I did get caught up proper with my dude and jungle legend Mike Piazza, who told a great story about the pressure of playing with his red-ass battery mate, Kevin Gross.
Talks about pressure, but the one pressure is when me and EK went out on Manhattan Beach. We had a little bit too much to drink, and Kevin Gross, who was pitching the next day, found out about it. And he's like, "You guys went out last night, and I'm starting today. You guys better get a hit. You guys better do well. So I'm going to kick your ass." And we were like, shoot, what do we do now? It was Ken Hill, and there's first and second, and I hit a double off the wall. And I just remember getting second base going, I think that's the most pressure I've ever had in my life.
Kevin Gross threatening to whip the asses of a hungover Mike Piazza and Eric Karros. It's one of the best stories ever, especially since it ended with Mike delivering. Now, the early stages of the pandemic brought upon many challenges for people who had to start working from their home, including our very own update anchor, the legend Rich Ackerman. He had his home line frequently fall off when he was supposed to be talking. This happened once while Mark in Boston was waiting on hold, and here's what Mark had to say to Rich about that.
I just want to address the elephant in the room, or the elephant that wasn't in the room. Hey, Rich Smackerman, I know that we're all trying to practice social distancing right now, but you can't socially distance yourself from your phone when you're working from home to do the sports update. You can't disappear and be Rich go get a Snackerman.
In fairness to go get a Snackerman, I don't think that he was hitting the fridge when he was supposed to be working. I think that he was dealing with the same frustrations of doing radio from his home instead of doing radio from a, you know, radio station. Then you've got Denver Broncos D-end, Jarrell Casey, 51 sacks in his career. Maybe you have seen a few, but have you heard any of them? Because you really should.
Whoever's back there, if I get my arms around you, feel these pads up against your chest, and hear you make a gasping sound, it's all the same to me.
Jarrell, what's that sound like when a quarterback gasps?
Oh.
That's the kind of audio and description that would make Bill Romanowski proud.
I love him.
Oh.
Well played, Jay.
Oh.
Let's get into the month of April, if you don't mind. Former NBA badass, current Vandy head coach, Jerry Stackhouse, one of my all-time favorites. He told me in April that he recently had gone to see his guy, Don Nelson, in Hawaii, and even stayed at Nelly's house.
Got to see some of the things that Nelly likes to do.
Did you get to do some of the things that he likes to do?
Hey. I did not inhale, no.
It looks like he does, though.
Yeah, man, I think he's one of the coolest coaches that I ever played for. And obviously, he's known a little bit more for some Nelly Kush and some different things like that. But, I mean, he deserves to do whatever he wants to do. He pretty much owns Hawaii out there. He's the man out there.
So what happens in Hawaii stays in Hawaii, I guess. Just playing Stack. I don't mess with Stack. I love Stack. And I don't mess with Stack. He's one of those, like, five guys that I don't mess with. Johnny Scabs in Detroit. Now, this guy's been paying beachfront property taxes on the Smackoff watch list for a very long time, and it's because of calls like this. They start out fine, they're promising, and then they careen right off the side of the road into a light pole.
I felt terrible for the Jungle Open champion, Dave from Berea, this weekend. He couldn't decide if he should finish paying a layaway on his son's new bicycle or buy more Bud Light Lime. Needless to say, that kid won't be riding a bike anytime soon. I can't help but think about Mark in Hollywood as I flip through hundreds of movies nobody has ever watched on Netflix. Bro, how do you not get work in that town when even Rob Schneider is still churning out films? Bro, my Novi stay-at-home orders have been stressful for everyone, and, you know, the stress in my house went through the roof when my wife's time of the month arrived. It's bad enough having one female in the house. Could you imagine being at Caleb's house when he, his mom, and his sister are all cycling at the same time?
Yeah, I got a better question. Could you ever imagine me giving you a golden ticket? Now, Dan in Michigan was one of my favorite callers in 2020. He wasn't the best, and even really not anywhere near the best, but he had an angle, and he worked that angle hard. And his angle was treating this show like his local homeowners association.
I got a four-month-old at home. He's whining, crying every 3 hours, which is what a baby does. Well, I finally get him down at 1 a.m. You know, it's like it's night time. Let's go to bed. I look out the window, and I just hear howling like a wolf at a moon, man. And it's a guy who's ripping a dart. He's letting his dog out at 1 a.m. just barking. Wakes up my four-month-old, and now I'm up for two more hours. Fast forward, 8 o'clock this morning. I'm walking the dog. You know, it's all nice. I turn the corner, and there it is. The freaking trash can, man. Pickup was Friday. And then I think to myself, this is the same guy who had his dog out at 1 a.m. ripping darts and checking his phone.
Pickup was Friday, damn it. Dan in Michigan called no less than six times this year about the same thing, to complain about his neighbor leaving his trash cans on the sidewalk past pickup day. I'm not sure why I think that's funny, but that still is very funny. Now, if the Tiger King doc was big, and it was, the Last Dance doc was monumentally huge. I still think that they should have just called it Michael Jordan Hates Everybody Except Himself. But I will admit, the Last Dance does kind of roll off the tongue a little easier. I just don't want to spend a lot of time rehashing something that was nothing but a rehash itself. So instead, here are my favorite sound bites from the 10 episodes.
I never read that.
But I didn't want Bill Cartwright to have the ball. That's bullshit.
Yeah, let's not get it wrong. He was an
The first three games, Mike ripped us, ripped a hole in us, ripped a hole in our really.
Wish it never happened, but if I had a chance to do it over again, I probably wouldn't change it.
Dennis Rodman was the f*** up person. He just f***s everything up.
If you're getting ready for work right now, then you're probably not Doug Collins.
I'm not going to f*** my summer up.
Well, I know it's all bullshit.
Yeah, you can show me anything you want. There's no way you can convince me he wasn't that
straight up bitches.
When people see this, they're gonna say, well, he wasn't really a nice guy. He may have been a tyrant. Oh, well, that's you.
If you don't want to play that way, don't play that way. Break.
Break. Huge shout out to that news anchor who buried Doug Collins for waking up without a job to get ready for.
If you're getting ready for work right now, then you're probably not Doug Collins.
Hell of a coach, by the way. So the NFL draft was held this year in Roger Goodell's basement. Yep, that's a sentence that I just said. And for the most part, it came off pretty well. Except for that one part where Raj had to announce the Dolphins pick.
The Miami Dolphins select Tua Tagovailoa.
If he was having trouble with Marcus Mariota, there was no way he was going to nail Tua. You think maybe you might want to practice the names of dudes projected to go in the televised rounds, Kamish. I don't know. I know that Jeff in SoCal thinks you should.
The NFL draft was great. I think my favorite part, though, was the Kamish butchering Tua's name. The only thing that was missing was Goodell introducing Tua as the wickedly talented one and only. The Jordan documentary seems to be what everyone is talking about. But the only reaction I want is from that crybaby Jeff in San Antonio. I mean, where the hell is that guy when you need him? When I imagine him watching it, only two possible scenarios play out, Jim, and both involve him having a box of tissues next to him.
If we had the time, I would ask Alvin how the hell that call did not get run. But lucky for him, we do not have the time. So with the smack off only a few months away and a lot more time on everyone's hands with the lockdowns, the heavy hitters started to check in and a lot earlier than normal. Jeff in Southfield, for instance, had a little something for Cal in Vegas.
Hey, Cal in Vegas, last year you called and said, quote, what Jeff in Southfield doesn't understand is talented and educated people from the Midwest don't stay there. Hey, Cal. The talented and educated people who do leave the Midwest don't go to Las Vegas. The people who leave the Midwest to go to Vegas are the greedy, no-talent scumbags who have get-rich schemes where their work ethic should be. Hey, Cal, when your next cold streak has you tempted to do your best impersonation of a male prostitute, remember these words. The reason gamblers say, winner, winner, chicken dinner, is because gamblers don't win enough to eat steak.
Only Jeff could make a joke, and a damn good one at that, out of the line, winner, winner, chicken dinner. Now, you're going to want to pay very close attention to the next few clips because they mark the beginning of an eight-month saga that absolutely took over the jungle and became the biggest running storyline of the year. And it all started when a legendary longtime caller named Silk Bra tweeted out to his local police department to come down to the beach and break up a game of volleyball because he believed it to be against the rules of social distancing. That tweet happened to catch Brad and Corona's eye, and the BIC phoned in the very next day and did this.
Silk Bra in Huntington Beach took to Twitter to narc out four dudes playing beach volleyball. The dude added his local police department with the photo, and they responded as though they actually cared about this garbage. Yeah, Silk, I'm sure the HB police department was real concerned about this gathering, brah. Who'd they send down there to break it up? Was it the cop on the horse, or was it the one on the Segway? Or maybe the guy who rides the mountain bike? Silk, you need to chill out, brah. You're cracking, man. Narc.
Brah.
Narc.
Brah.
Narc, brah.
Narc, brah. Narc bra gloss has stuck ever since. And it might have been truly cemented when Sean in Pittsburgh called in after Brad.
There's two different types of snitches. You got a certified snitch who signs an affidavit and becomes a confidential informant. Then you got a dry snitch who won't sign anything, stays low key, but he's still telling the police tidbits of information. In my opinion, this dude is a certified snitch. As we speak, he's probably sitting on his front porch taking names of people going up and down the street that aren't 6 feet apart.
So Silk would call in to defend himself, but all anybody cared about was the fact that he bragged about his wife stacking paper during a pandemic when so many other folks were out of work.
My wife is still working at 100%. Her business is actually, business she's in is up about 65%. So I'll let you guess what that is.
If snitching were not bad enough, my man just picked up a gravy training line on his resume, too. Again, remember those three clips as we move forward. Let's break. When we come back, we're into the month of May. It is the year in review. Hey, do this for me. Hit me up on Twitter with anything you want to say. Any way you want to respond, hit me up at Jim Rome. Just be sure you hashtag it Rome Y-I-R. Rome Y-I-R. The year in review continues. More as we head into the month of May next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It is the year in review, 2020. I am Jim Rome. We are into the month of May. However, turning a page on the calendar does not mean turning the page on bad news, because here come the murder hornets. Reports out of Washington State were that the murder hornet had made its way from Japan. These things look more like birds than bees. They kill up to 50 people a year, and their stinger feels like, quote, hot metal driving into your skin, end quote. But one YouTuber had to find out for himself. Coyote Peterson gets impaled by a murder hornet.
Ah! Oh, this thing stuck in my arm. Oh!
How bad is it?
Ah! Oh! Oh, searing pain. Absolute searing pain. There's where the stinger went in, right there. Did you not see how slow this thing was? Oh!
I see blood.
Ah! Oh my gosh! Ah!
I would ask if Homeboy is okay, but clearly he is not. So yeah, anyway, those things landed in the United States back in May. Sweet. With the Pentagon releasing and verifying footage of UFOs, I wanted to ask my brilliant buddy, Ben Mesrick, for his thoughts on what he thought that meant and what those videotapes meant. And I got a little more than I bargained for.
People think I'm crazy when I talk about UFOs. But the reality is there's no good reason not to believe in life on other planets. They literally released video of UFOs flying in front of Navy planes.
Seriously.
And so if they were drones, these guys would know they were drones. These were not something that we can figure out. This was the Navy and the Pentagon saying, here's an unidentified flying object flying around. Now, I'm not saying it's alien, but I am saying that's pretty weird, right? And I'm just sitting here in my bunker with Toby from Houston, you know.
Toby in Houston has officially gone extraterrestrial. Check this dude out. Getting name dropped by a New York Times best-selling author in the middle of a UFO conversation. And again, for what? Turning face first into a crank a decade and a half ago. In the month of May, we lost another legend. His name was Paul Vasquez. But 48 million people and counting know him better as the double rainbow guy.
It's starting to even look like a triple rainbow. Oh my God, it's full on double rainbow all the way across the sky. Oh my God. Oh my God.
That video will live on forever, and so will the DRG. Rest in prism, my friend. And back to Jeff in Southfield. One of the best callers to the program. Easily the weirdest caller to the program. Listen to this next piece of sound where he used Kyle in Green Bay as a jumping off point to run smack on bacon bits. Yes, you heard me. Dude went ham on bacon. Listen.
Kyle in Green Bay is more common than an individual bacon bit sitting in a 1 gallon bacon bit caddy in the salad bar of some Golden Corral in Nebraska, Homa. His best chance of standing out is that day when he finally gets separated from the gallon of bacon bits by a ladle to be part of a softball-sized clump of bacon bits being dropped on some fat ass's side salad. Note to that fat ass, when your side salad has a Mount Everest of bacon bits on it, you've broken your diet. Do what you really want to do and dump out that lettuce and put that mountain of bacon bits on top of a bowl of nacho cheese-covered taco meat, you sick pig.
It is Jeff in Southfield's weird, weird world, and we're all just living in it. Then you've got Johnny in Texas, right? Nice enough dude. Nice enough guy, but an absolutely horrible caller. He once phoned in to promote a clone stock that he was putting on, but he didn't have a time, he didn't have a date, he didn't have a location. He also has a habit of bringing the lowest level Twitter beef into his calls. Back in May, he dropped a 1 minute dissertation of the lamest and most inside smack I have ever heard on this show.
Recently, man, I've had some people come after me, and I want to go ahead and address those bros. Hey, Kyle in Green Bay. Dude, keep your ass at home, dude. We don't need to see you shaking hands and drinking girly beer with other bros. Get off of me. Jim, last night, Reggie in the I Can't Breathe OC. Dude, you can't even get through a call because your lungs are shattered because you're so far up the BIC's butt. Get off of me. Hey, Matt in, I don't know, Home Depot, Garden Center. Why are you saying I've got a fat face? I got a full head of hair, bro. I got awesome blue eyes, and the ladies like me. Get off of me.
My man, that is so perfectly horrible. Like, he thinks that he just destroyed that call. He thinks lines like girly beer and get off me.
Get off of me.
Were kill shots. How about him flex his, quote, full head of hair and awesome blue eyes? He's probably still wondering how that did not get him a golden ticket. Now, I've been reading Salty Sarah T's emails for years now from Providence. So it was a very, very pleasant surprise to get a legendary lady clone on the horn and then to hear her rip a golden ticket to the smack off.
I'd like to give credit where credit is due. Let's shout out to all the clones who are in the medical field. Yay! And when I think of clones in the medical field, I think of one Dr. Dave in Chicago. You know that every day he's right there in the front lines of every curbside takeout restaurant in Illinois. Dave, I'd like to thank you for keeping everybody safe. From your takes, Jim, today is Tom Brady's senior's birthday. I mean, can you imagine siring Tom Brady? God bless you, Mr. Brady. Your sperm is mighty. And you know what? Speaking of Tom Brady, Jim, I'd do things to him that you wouldn't do to a barnyard animal.
She congratulated him and thanked him for siring Tom Brady. The smack-off may not have gone how either of us would have liked for Sarah, but she'll always have that ticket-winning call, and that was nice. Hey, Earl Thomas, be glad there was not any sound of your gun-toting wife busting up a bizarre Airbnb orgy that you and your naked brother were having out of pocket, because you best believe that that would be getting played right here in the Year in Review. But here is something that I do have sound of. Mr. Narkbra hitting the Huntington Beach City Council meeting to voice his concerns over local restaurants opening up outdoor dining.
Next speaker, please.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. There's been no enforcement of any of the guidelines. Mayor, I saw your video, which was great. You told people to pay attention to the guidelines of the beach, but nobody's enforcing it. I see in the proposal here from the two council members that it mentions strict rules and adherence to those rules, but who's going to enforce it? I also noticed that the example given was from Vilnius, Lithuania, and that's great. No disrespect to the Baltic republics, and my wife is Latvian descent, but we couldn't find an example west of the Mississippi. Whatever they did in Vilnius is going to be okay.
So just know, Narkbra is now Concerned Citizen Bra. And believe this, he's only getting started. He's just warming up. When we come back, the month of June was very intense. And that's where we will pick up our year in review. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. If you want to do so, can you hashtag it? RomeYIR. RomeYIR, so everybody can participate and you can all see what the other guy is doing. Time now for a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show, the year in review on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. The year in review continues. We are into the month of June, and of course, the month of June marked one of the most intense, troubling, sad, and important times in American history following the killing of George Floyd. Protesters filled the streets, demanding justice nationwide, conversations most of us had never even had before about systemic racism and police brutality became the focal point of everyday life. Athletes like Steven Jackson put themselves out in front to drive home the urgency of needed change.
I'm here because they're not going to demean the character of George Floyd.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
My twin. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when police do things that they know that's wrong, the first thing they try to do is cover it up and bring up your background to make it seem like the bull that they did was worthy.
Right.
When was murder ever worthy?
Never.
This is a sports show. But I'm not going to just sit here and bury my head in the sand either. We're never going to avoid difficult topics because they're too difficult to talk about. In fact, one of the prevailing lessons from 2020 is how important it is to listen, to really listen. So I did. And I listened to everybody who wanted to lend their voice and their firsthand experience to the conversation. As an example, NC Central head basketball coach Lavelle Moten. He came on the program in June and told a traumatic story about getting pulled over with Raymond Felton and being held at gunpoint as the cops made him sit in the rain while they kicked dirt on him. And the entire time, his mother was on the speakerphone of his cell.
He's asking me for my driver's license and registration at this time. And I say, I memorized my driver's license number. I'll give you my number, but I'm not going in this car for you to shoot me. I'm well aware of how the police treated people in the neighborhoods that I grew up in. And they walk away. And I don't know exactly what they were saying, but I just heard them say Lavelle Moten. And he looks back and he come back. He said, man, what is your name? My name is Lavelle Moten. And again, I'm hearing my mom cry through this phone frantically. Like, I've never heard of my mother like that. She's begging for them not to kill her child. That kind of made me a bit emotional. We on Tobacco Road, so athletes at Carolina and Duke and NC State are really well known. And so long story short, he just extended his hand and told me he apologized. And he said, man, we got a car that you fit the description and I don't want no harsh feelings. And I told him, nah, it's too late for that. So he got in his car and they left and I sat on that curb and I kind of cried because for the first time in my life, I felt humiliated as a man. I felt less than. And I had heard those stories from my grandfathers and all of my elders who told me generational stories like that, but it had never occurred to me.
So my sincerest appreciation to Lavelle Moten for sharing that story. I think a lot of us woke up to the reality of how things are this summer, and that story is not an uncommon story. And here's one thing to remember going forward. The issue did not start with George Floyd. It was just made impossible to ignore. But those suffering from systemic racism have been trying to tell us about this forever. And it's way past time that we listen and change things. Mark in Hollywood, well-known jungle caller and a 2013 Smackoff champ. He also has very strong opinions on the topic. In June of 2020, he made what I consider to be one of the more compelling, reasonable, thought-provoking calls I have ever heard in this year or any year for that matter.
Why do people get mad because we're bringing this up? Like, why does that make non-black people angry? Like, why are they turning off your show? If a Caucasian person was like, hey, man, I need to tell you about this Caucasian experience, it's very indicative of my experience, I'd be interested in hearing that because I'd be like, oh, I don't really know that. I wouldn't be like, no, I don't want to hear that. And when we talk about stories about being pulled over or being harassed, people respond to that like, oh, boo-hoo, get over it. But why? We're not taking anything away from you. No one wants to take away your rights and your life when we say Black Lives Matter. And I'm just trying to, like, talk to people. I'm like, look, bro, just because I'm going on Twitter and saying this and Black Lives Matter, I don't want to take anything away from you. No one is going to take your rights. But what about ours?
It's a great, great telephone call. A great telephone call. I'm glad he made that call. Now, I don't want to accuse this next guy of being drunk. I'm just going to assume it. I mean, he's Fabian in L.A., putting the F in Fabian.
My money's still on Brad, eh? You know, and let me know who the, you know, where to go for I could go hang around, like so. And I hope Rich gives me a, whoops, gives me a call.
Hey, Fabian.
No. Okay. You don't like that
call. I don't like that. Okay. It goes without saying, okay. You cannot just drop an F-bomb on the radio. Just like it goes without saying that Fabian will do whatever the hell Fabian wants anyway. Then you've got Raider Mike in Arlington, owning the Jungle Street corner on being the last great straight sports caller to this show. He doesn't want to talk about clones. He wants to talk sports. But without any sports to talk about, he had not called in for a while. And that's because the Air Force was keeping my guy busy.
Bounce back, I've been remiss in keeping in the schedule. The Air Force has had me busier than a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest.
Nice job, Mike. Great line. And you know, had to get it and Raider Mike into this program somehow, some way. Had to. Now, you've already heard Reggie in the OC hyperventilate and throat clear through an all-time horrible call. Plenty of times this week alone. But have you ever heard his redemption call that went back in June?
Rome, hey, Reggie in OC here. I just want to redeem myself. Yeah, I'm definitely Brad's best friend. And we like Terramina vodka. Tequila, I mean. sorry, this is... Yeah, I'm not a hack or anything. I'm just... That's not a good call.
No. That was not Reggie. That was Jeremy in Green Bay doing a fake Reggie. They say imitation is the highest form of flattery. There was nothing flattering about that, Reginald. Hey, you want to hear someone who got banned from the show for life? You want to hear how that happens? Well, you're about to. Sonny in Toronto burst onto the scene in the summer of 2020 as some kind of bizarre Dr. Seuss on acid. The only context that you need for this next call is that one of Brad in Corona's personal brands of smack is making fun of people who are not circumcised. With that in mind, here is the last Sonny in Toronto call that we will ever, ever have on this show.
I'm Eastern Euro. Brad in Corona and my ex-wife, they've given me a complex. So I went ahead and booked the procedure, but everything is backed up because of COVID. And so I'm going to do it myself. So forget about ripping beards off people's faces and making them eat it. Mike and Indy, I'm going to rip this excess skin off and make you eat it.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
You know what? Banning that guy for life. Does the punishment fit the crime? Perhaps I was too harsh. You know what? I'll take that back. I'll take that lifetime ban back. I'll make it a 10-year ban. Yo, Sonny, I'll see you in... 40-40. Not a 10-year ban, a 10-lifetime ban. I just gave you 9 more life sentences. See you in 40-40, son. Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports is a world-class NFL reporter, but he also has a world-class life hack for you, and it takes place in the drive-thru at McDonald's.
All right, so look, I used to be a fry jockey when I was like 15 at McDonald's, and I tried to explain to people, if you really want fresh McDonald's french fries, it's really simple. When you go through, you just say, I want fries with no salt. All their fries have salt on them. It means they have to make your fries fresh right then. Then when you get to the window and they give you your fresh fries that they made with no salt, then you just ask for packets of salt, and now you have fresh
dude.
Fries. So that is the secret that I learned at 15 years old to getting fresh McDonald's french fries.
The only thing worse than actually pulling that kind of stunt is getting stale old, salty fries. So I'm going to allow that. And with the smack off just mere days away, a lot of the heavies started to check in, including JT the Brick, who had not called in since winning the very first smack off back in 1995 and then parlaying that into a 25-year career in national radio.
For all the contestants coming up, get your head in gear. If you don't win this contest, it doesn't matter. Second, third, fifth, 19th means nothing. You win, you join this powerful fraternity, and I will buy you beers, and you will buy me chicken wings, and we will think a tour stops, and we will be the next chapter and legacy of the Smack-Off. Win or go home a loser.
This guy's so right. The Brick. Then there was Jeff in Southfield talking about Caleb in Green Bay's recent weight loss.
Before losing that weight, if there was a girl behind the counter at KFC, Caleb would lower his head in shame and order the family bucket for himself while staring at his shoes. Since losing that weight, if there's a girl behind the KFC counter, Caleb looks her right in the eye and says, I'll have two breasts and two thighs. Oh, and also, I want some chicken.
Yeah, I see what you did there, Jeff. I see what you did there. Oh, and also, I'll have some chicken. Then there was another Jeff. Jeff from Richmond, who took dead aim at someone not even remotely affiliated with the Smack-Off.
Jim, how tired and played is it to see 86-year-old Lizard Larry King, flesh on a stick, still pimping product on cable TV. Jim, my man's pimping vitamins, prostate meds, credit reporting services. Remember back in the day, Jim, when the Lizard, the hunchback of CNN, was actually considered fairly fresh and hip? You remember those days, Jim. Hey, Lizard, maybe if you spent a little less time pimping product and a little more time with your family, maybe you wouldn't have cycled through 8 marriages, Jim. That's right, 8.
Jeff from Richmond, all about the nuclear family. While Mark in Boston is all about hating Jeff from Richmond.
Hey, who wants to walk with Jeff in Richmond? Buddy, you really should not brag about something you can't do. I mean, be honest. How long ago did the Type 2 Beatus take those feet?
How long ago did the Type 2 Beatus take those feet? It's an incredible line. And a perfect precursor to what was to come in Smack Off 26. Let's start that. The main event of the year. $5,000 on the line. The best of the best competing for the coveted title, King of Smack. The RSVPs were in. The field was set. Nothing to do it, but to do it. Smack Off 26, the jungle's very own Super Bowl. All in all, 19 contestants made it to air, 10 placed, but only one ripped the belt. Caleb in Green Bay, one of the sharper callers, had a great call, but a terrible phone line. He came in 10th. Ninth place, you had the 98 champ, the guy who holds the most all-time appearances in the Smack-Off, the record for it, Stevie Carbone.
Clay Travis, I'm not sure how this dollar store version of Skip Bayless has gotten the run he has, but he sure found the right network. What's his show called again? I'm not racist, but I saw Dr. Fauci and Governor Newsom are requiring everyone to wear masks again, which is perfect for Clay, since that's how he attends all his meetings.
Dude is still throwing gas 26 years into the event. Nobody's done it more times than Stevie Carbone. Mark in Hollywood came in 8th. Shawnee, the Cabo Nation, grabbed 7th. Ia Frady, 6th. Mike in Indy cracked the top 5 when he did this.
Everybody knows I take this Smack-Off stuff personally, and that stokes my competitive flame the same it does MJ. Then the Stucknut Smack-Off odds come out, and Mark in Boston is ahead of me, and I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. You know Mark has only had one top 5 in 10 years, right? So Stucknut is cut off. And Mark, I know you didn't create the Stucknut odds, but you're cut off too, bitch. Bye-bye. Speaking of grudges, I bet the NBA players are pissed no females are allowed in their bubble for the next 8 weeks. They're going to have to sneak some females in at some point, though. Disney's going to have more underground tunnels than El Chapo's palatial estate. LeBron James is going to be in the underground tunnel with a torch looking like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Poon.
Like, that call without the botched sound effects may have won the entire thing. Then in fourth place, the dirtiest player in the game, the 2002 champ, Jeff from Richmond.
Jim, it's been a tradition of mine now for several years to roll a couple fatties in celebration of the Smack-Off, Jim. to let me roll Big Daddy Beaks and Matt from L.A. out of the way, Jim, so I can run some serious smack. Jim, the real story's Prince Charles. Here's a guy, Jim, who's heir to the throne, Jim. Heir to the throne. He can have any woman in the world that he wants. And yet he's rolling, Jim, with the Rottweiler, Camilla Parker Bowles. Jim, Camilla Parker Bowles looks like she should be chained to a rusty car axle in Michael Vick's backyard.
From Larry King to the royal family, no one is safe. An excellent effort from the Commonwealth. To the top three, probably the toughest decision we've ever had to make in the history of the event. In the end, it was Benny who took the bronze.
Rick in Buffalo, you look like Rhea Perlman shaved her head. I always thought the reason Rick screamed throughout his calls was because he couldn't figure out how to turn off the caps lock when he typed his script. But as it turns out, it's because Rick is 4'11". When Rick makes his calls from the local payphone, he's got to knock the receiver off the hook with a broom and scream at the top of his lungs at it while it's swinging above his head in order for anyone to hear him. Rick, you're shorter than Kyle in Green Bay's life expectancy.
A great call from Benny. An even better recovery from a tactical error in 2019. It would not surprise me if that guy won that event one day. And then there were two. The two savages, the two monsters, the two that we probably should have known it was going to come down to. I will have that for you when we come back. I got to somehow get through this thing. We are behind. I'll keep grinding. One more hour. It is our last show of the year. This is the Year in Review 2020. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, do so, at Jim Rome. If you're tweeting about what you're hearing, throw a hashtag on it, RomeYIR. Hashtag RomeYIR. When we come back, we pick up with the smack-off, how it ended, who won it, and what happened. All of that is straight ahead. This is our final hour for the year 2020. Don't go anywhere.